So we left off in the Mishnah, Dab Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says when the husband is choshed his wife and he was Mekane Lo Benistra, so he goes to the local Bezin, that's the top Mishnah, Malicho Le Bezin Shabosa Mokam, and the Bezin sends along two Rabbanim to avoid the Issa Yichud. Then they come to Yerushalayim, they go to the Beis HaMikdash, they go to the Bezin HaGadol. What is the role of the Bezin HaGadol here? You have to have Kohanim do the Mayim HaMorim. Bezin HaGadol is the giver of Musa Shmos, Ma'ayimim Aleho. And they warn her, if you're guilty, don't go through this ceremony because you're going to die Misa Mishuna by drinking the Mayim HaMorim. And the Mishnah says, Ma'ayim HaMaleh, the Bezin HaGadol should frighten her, Kederach Shemayim HaMaleh Di Nefoshes. That's Gemara in Sanhedrin, that the Bezin of 23, when they accept testimony in the case of Dini Nefoshes, they have to warn the Eidim in advance. You have to realize that if you're going to be caught giving aid to Sheker, you're going to get a punishment, kashazam lasis liachiv, and if they won't be mazim you, but you'll be caught that you told a lie, and not in the knife of hazam, you only get the punishment, vasis malo kashazamam, if another pair of aidim come and testify, mono hayisem, you were with us in a different location the day that you claim this story happened. So that's going to be rare, that you're going to have aidim zamimim. But the Bezdin warns them, you're going to be responsible for the death of the person. And if we're going to make a Gmar Din Lamisa, you have to kill him. Yadu Edim Tir Barishana. Don't forget, you have to kill him. Not that someone else, not that we're going to kill him. You're going to have to kill him. So then also the Gemara is going to explain, you schlep the Soita around from one place to the other in the Beis HaMikdash, tape upstairs, downstairs, to knock her out a little bit.
Her punishment is she'll get sick and die, right?
Yeah.
What's going to happen to them? How can they duplicate
that type of punishment? No, it's not going to be like this, but we warn them, in case you'll be caught telling a lie, sometimes we will give you the death penalty. I see some like
Hashem Zamam Lassus Leach. This is my
assaiter.
That testimony doesn't give her a death penalty.
Huh? No, just like the Bezdin of 23 warns the Edim who testify on a Din in the Fashis case. They want him in advance, in case you're telling a lie, you're going to be punished, and it's going to be a scandal, and you'll be responsible for the death of this person. So till they want her, a different kind of warning, that you can die, Misa Mishuna. And just like by the Saita, the Gemara is going to show from the Mishnah that they schlep her around, they take her upstairs and downstairs, and they schlep her around in the Beis HaMikdash, to just in case she built up her courage, that she's not going to, in case she knows that she is guilty, that she is a Saita. So she'll come to the Beis HaMikdash and she says she's prepared to drink the Mamamar. So we try to wear down her courage. We knock her out a little bit so that in case she's guilty, she'll admit and she won't lose her life. So too, the Gemara says, they schlep her on the Edim by case of Dina Nefoshes also, in case they had a lot of courage and they decided they're going to give Edim Sheker. So we try to knock down their strength a little bit and encourage them. If they're giving Edim Sheker, they shouldn't testify. They shouldn't give Eidah Sheker.
It's the only time that they do it. Is this the only time when they take the Eidim and they
Eidim Nefashis. So, yeah, Eidim Amanis, we tell them in advance to make sure you're giving
it. Around.
Yeah, you schlep them around. Yeah.
Always.
Eidim Nefashis. That's how the Gemara says. You always schlep them around to knock them out. In case they're not giving Eidah Semes, so we try to knock down their courage.
Resistance.
Yeah, their resistance. So the Bez Din HaGadol is supposed to give her the Musa, Ma'imim Aleho, Kedach Shemaim Aleinu Nefashis, and they warn her and so on. And then the Mishnah continues, V'oima Lefaneho, the Bez Din gives a Musa, and we tell her, Dvarim She'enim Kedai Dushamim, He V'chol Mishpachas Beis Avia. We tell the stories about Tzadikim who did Averis and they admitted their guilt. This woman is not such a tzaddikah. She's a Pashita woman. Her family is Pashita people. Not that she's the Queen of England. Not that her husband is the Rosh HaMemshalah, and it's a busha for her to admit that she's a Saita. So we tell her, well, look about here, this famous figure also sinned, and they said vidui in public, so you should also say vidui. You're telling us stories it's embarrassing. You're telling us stories about big tzaddikim who did averis and they admitted in public they did an averis. Who is she? She's not so important. But still, it's l'torelo so'inyan. So we tell her about big tzaddikim who sinned and said vidui, in order that in case she's sinning, she should admit her guilt. She shouldn't have to die. We want to save her life. So the Gemara is going to say, what you do? You tell her about tzaddikim from Tanakh who sinned, and the Tanakh describes the way they admitted their guilt in public. Imam Ratmeyane, I think we did the Mishnah, yeah. No? We did the Mishnah already. Okay. So where do we leave off in the Gemara? Ma'ayim Amalah, yes. On the top of Amud Beis, okay, right in the Gemara, it says. So the Gemara said, Menohan, immediately, how do you know you have to take her to the Beis? Now go to the Gemara, say, Gzereshava. It says, Vasalos, Kolat Torah Zois, and there it says, Alpia Torah Sheyarucha, Gzereshava, that the word Torah has the connotation of the Beis of 71. Fine. We discussed the Taisus, so 40 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, the whole Maimon Morim should have ceased to exist because there was no longer a Beis Nagadol. And the Gemara says not so. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yechemez Zakeh was the one who was mafsig the Maimon Morim. He was a chief rabbi for 40 years, and it couldn't be, and his chief rabbinate was part of it was Zman HaBayis, part of it was after the Zman HaBayis. He was a chief rabbi after the Zman HaBayis. So shouldn't the Maimon Morim have terminated before he became the chief rabbi? So that we discussed. Okay. Then the says, Maimon Malah, that's what we're up to. Maimon Malah, they try to encourage her not to drink the Maimon Morim. They try to dissuade her from drinking. We try to warn her, look, if you're guilty, you're going to die. So don't drink it, just admit that you're guilty. We have a contradiction between the Tosefta and the Mishnah. In the Tosefta, it says that we pressure her, yes, to drink. So how does the Mishnah say we pressure her not to drink, that she shouldn't die? The Tosefta says, Kederach Shemaimim Aleo Shaloitishta, just like sometimes we pressure her, we threaten her that she should not drink, Kach sometimes Maimim Aleo, that Yesha Tishta. We encourage her she should drink. When is it sometimes yes and sometimes no? What does it mean? Omim La, we tell her, Biti, look, lady, in Borloch Hadover, if you are absolutely positive, Shetahiraat, if you know that you're innocent, is Imdi Al Boryech, stand up for your convictions. See and drink the Maimon Morim, because Maimon Morim doesn't have any poison in it. You won't get sick. It's like a medication that you put on the skin. And if there's an open wound and you put this chemical on the open wound, then it's going to go in, it's going to cause big trouble. But if the skin is not torn, if there's no wound on the skin, you put a chemical on the skin so nothing will happen. So they tell her, look, lady, if you're innocent, you drink the Maimon Morim. There's nothing to be afraid of. It doesn't taste so good. It has a little karka mishkan in it, but it's not poisonous at all. So the Gemara says, what's pshat in the Tosefta? The Mishnah only has one here for the story. We pressure the woman. We try to encourage her not to drink the Maimon Morim, to admit that she's guilty. But the Tosefta says that sometimes, just like sometimes we encourage her yes to drink, sometimes we insist and encourage her that she should drink. So when is it which way? And the Gemara like Kasha, we understand what it is. Kan kredim shenimcha kamgila, kan lacha shenimcha kamgila. In the Megillah Saita, they write down the Shvuah that she said. First she has to take the Shvuah that she's innocent, she's not guilty, and then the Kohen has to write it down on a piece of parchment, then you erase it in the water, then it becomes Maimon Morim. After you erase the Shvuah, then you erase Shem Hashem. So before you erase the Shvuah, before you erase it, so we tried to dissuade her from going through with the whole procedure. Number one, we're interested in saving her life, but number two, we also want to prevent the Mechikas Hashem, the erasing of Shem Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if it's going to make Shalom Bayis, I give you permission to erase Shem Hashem. But lacha shenimcha kam gila, after they already erase Shem Hashem, so true, we are interested in saving her life, but after the Shem Hashem is ready, she could have admitted guilt before they erased it. So after they already erased Shem Hashem, then we try to encourage her that, in case she really insists that she's Torah, so we encourage her that she should drink the Maimon Morim. They do. They tell her that too. Yeah, they tell her everything. We're concerned about both. So whenever you have the both considerations, then we try to dissuade her from drinking. If you already have the Mechika Shem Hashem took place already, just worried about her life, so that's only one consideration. So for the one, we say we already erase Shem Hashem, so we encourage you to drink.
But she's already gonna drink anyway. So you're talking about a case where after they raise the name, she says, no, I don't want to drink.
Yeah.
That's when they encourage her to yes drink.
Yeah. If she says I don't want to drink, so then she can't force her.
But we encourage her to drink even if she says I'm guilty. I'm guilty.
No. If she says she's guilty, that's the end of the story. So she's guilty.
But
there's no use in drinking.
She's not guilty. Why do we have to encourage her? She's already going to do it anyway.
No, she says she's innocent, but she's afraid. So then we should insist that if she says that she's innocent, but she's afraid, before they erase Shem Hashem, so you stop the whole case and shine. So she'll, the husband will give her a get to get divorced, and he won't pay the ksuba because she was the one who went through with the stira after the husband had given her the kinui. So she ruined the marriage. And she doesn't want to solve the issue now. She doesn't want to drink the maimarim. So nisht. So you lose the ksuba and goodbye. But if they're ready, raise the Shem Hashem, so then we encourage her that she should bedafke yes drink. And then the Mishnah says, and we tell her things that are embarrassing, we tell her about big tzaddikim who sinned and they admitted their guilt, even though she's a nobody, she's not from such a meyuchas dikah family, still we tell her these stories. Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa spells out what it means in the Mishnah. Omer lefanav dvarim shel hagodah, we tell her things from the Tanakh. Omaisim shira b'ksuvim harishonim kigon. The pasuk refers to Asher Chachamim Yagidu V'lo Kichadu Me'avoisam. We tell stories about tzaddikim who admitted their guilt. So what do we tell Elamosha? Yehuda Oda V'lo Bosh. Yehuda had the affair with Tamar, and Tamar was pregnant. Ve'ikem Mishlosh Chadoshim. Tamar was pregnant, and then Hotziyua V'sisarev. They wanted to punish her. So Yehuda, and then she says, "Lemi achasemis v'apsilim ho'ela." And then he says, "Tzotka mimeni. I'm the one. I was ba'aleho." It's very embarrassing. He admits that he was ba'aleho, but he didn't want her to die, so he wanted to save her life. Yehuda ha'idu v'lai bush.
Yeah, but he wasn't tired of anything. She admits it. It's a different kind of story. She said she would be doing an isser if she admits. I had relations with somebody.
Right.
So that's even a higher level, I think. And no, it's not equivalent. What he did wasn't wrong. It wasn't wrong. It's just an embarrassing incident.
Okay. I mean, she's going to admit that she did a serious avera. Okay. Lusinif is worse. Okay. No. The Eishes Ish is going to admit. The Eishes Ish, right. The Eishes Ish in the Mishnah violated Lusinif. She's going to admit something terrible. Yeah. So we say Yehud admitted that he did something that was improper, immoral, even though it was not an avera. It was immoral, though. So what was the end of the story? She wasn't embarrassed. The end of the story was he got Elamaba. Reuven also admitted that he did something wrong. What a Reuven! The pasuk says Reuven was Bilbel Yitzuei Aviv, that he moved the father's bed from Bila's bedroom to Leah's bedroom. He said, "Kolzman that Rachel was alive, okay, Rachel was the famous wife, the favorite wife." But now that Rachel died, so he's still not going to have his bed most of the time by Leah. That's not right. So he moved the without consulting the father. He decided the father's acting improperly. Yaakov Avinu is acting improperly. So he moved the father's bed to Leah's bedroom. So then later on, he admitted in public that he did wrong. So Mahoya so far, what was the end of the story? After he humiliated himself, admitting that he violated Kibbut Av. So Nochel Chayhu El Mabo. So we say, just like Yehuda was a tzaddik and he did something wrong, he admitted. And Reuven was a big tzaddik and he did something wrong, he admitted. So even if you're a tzaddikis, you should also admit. If you did something wrong, admit and you'll get Olam Haba.
But the reward she'll get is she'll get, if she has to divorce her husband, who's a ksuba.
Okay.
That's not part of the reward.
But she'll save her life. She won't die. She won't die Misa Mishunim.
Yeah, but okay. The
others were rewarded. Okay. So the Gemara wants to know, then the Braisa continues, a mascharan, and what was the reward of Yehuda and of Reuven? So the Braisa is going to continue. So the Gemara pauses in the middle of the Braisa, what do you mean mascharan? What kind of a question is the Braisa asking? What reward did they get? Kidiko Arminu, we just said a line ago, the reward was that they got Olam Haba. We just said, Reuven admitted he did an aver, he got Olam Haba. Yehuda admitted he got Olam Haba. Ella, the Braisa means to say, mascharan bo'olam hazeh. Not only the reward is going to come, lo'olam haba, what reward did they have, lo'olam hazeh? So the Braisa answers, lahem levadom nitna haretz v'lo over zar b'toicham. What does that mean? When they divided Eretz Yisrael, so these two, Yehud and Reuven, were next to each other. And the brachas of Moshe Rabbeinu, also they're next to each other, Yehud and Reuven. So the Gemara.
Was Reuven a trans Jordan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then the Gemara wants to know where do you see in Tanakh that they admitted that they did something wrong? So Bishleima Bihuda Ashkechan the Oidi. When Tamar was Hotziyo v'Sisarif, they were going to punish her. Shaila, what that means, Hotziyo v'Sisarif? When are we going to burn her alive? Why are you going to burn her alive? So the Torah there quotes from his father. They're going to, like in the Scarlet Letter, that they, when a woman would be an adulteress, that they would burn an A in her forehead. So that's how the Torah quotes from the Rosh, Hotziyo v'Sisarif, we should burn a Zayin or something in her forehead to be, that she should look ugly. Doesn't mean they were going to burn her alive. They weren't going to kill her. Yeah. Rashi quotes the Medrash. She was a Baskoyan. She's insa. Baskoyan. She's insa. Is chayv sreifa. Yeah. Problem is, she was neishesish. She was a pnuy. She was neishesish. That's the problem. So that's the problem with that Medrash that Rashi quotes. Yeah. So the Gemara said, "Bishleima biyehuda ashkechan deyoidi." It says in Tanakh, "Vayakihuda vayamatzot kimimeni." He admits that he was the one who made her pregnant, and he humiliated himself. He embarrassed himself in public because he didn't want her to die. Eli Reuven minolan deyoidi. Where do you see in Tanakh minolan from the Tanakh that he admitted in public that he did something wrong? Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, my dechsev. You read in the Chumash the brachas of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yichiru Vein Val Yamos. Then he says right afterwards the bracha v'zos lihuda. Why are these two put next to each other? Yichiru Vein and then v'zos lihuda. So the Gemara has a tradition. Kolosim Hashanim, all the 40 years that they were traveling in the Midbar, Shoyisom Bamidbar Hayuat. So the pasuk says before Yosef died, so he left instructions. When I die, you should take my body back. They won't be able to. When Yosef is going to die, they won't be able to. But when the time will come that after 210 years that the Lord leave Eretz Mitzrayim, so they should take his Aron itchem. What do you mean itchem? So the tradition has it together all the Shvatim. They took the bodies of all of the Shvatim back to Eretz Yisrael. So the Aron that had the not only Yosef was brought back, Yehuda was also brought back. So the Aron that had the Atzomas of Yehuda, Hoyo Atzmosim Shal Yehuda Migulgalim BaOron, they were rolling around in the Aron. Why? Because Yehuda, when Yaakov Avinu was afraid to send Binyamin, so Yehuda said, Anochi Aveda Miyoreh Tevakshenu. He says, he's going to accept Achrayis. How did the Lashon say? No, how did Yehuda say? If he doesn't succeed in bringing, he says that to
Paro.
He told the father, if I don't bring Binyamin back in good shape, so the Gemara understands means he's putting himself in cherem. He's putting himself in cherem. So he put a cherem on himself. A cherem is a curse. Put a curse upon himself, ala tanai. If he doesn't succeed in bringing Binyamin back. So the Gemara Makkos has a comment that kilos chacham afilo al tanai miskayemis. If a chacham gives a klala, Yehuda was a chacham. So if a chacham gives a klala, he makes a cherem, even if the cherem was ala tanai and the tanai was not fulfilled. He did succeed in bringing Binyamin back. Nothing happened to Binyamin. He lived out his life, and Yaakov Avinu saw him for many years after the incident. But still, because Yehuda had put himself in cherem ala tanai, so the cherem was chal, even though the tanai was not mekuyim. So all the years they were traveling on the midbar, they were taking not only atzmas Yosef, that says beferish, they were taking itchem. They took atzmas of all of the shvatim, and Yehuda's also was there. So his atzmas were rolling. He didn't have any rest during his lifetime. He didn't have any rest. He was like in cherem during his lifetime, and after he died, also his bones were rolling around. Atshamad Moshe bikrush olav rachma. Finally, after all those years, so Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalal to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Bikrush olav rachma means to be mispalal. He was praying amalafan Rabbanu Shalolam. So he prays to Rabbanu Shalolam. He says, Yehuda has a gevaldige schus The schus is migorim le Reuven shehoida. Who was the one who encouraged? Who was the one who got Reuven to admit his guilt in public? Here, the Bach in Aleph points out that Reuven was already chayzer b'tshuva way before the incident with Yehuda. Way before he was chayzer b'tshuva, but he didn't admit it in public. The Gemara is going to say, so what's the big deal? Well, I do all kinds of things. I do all kinds of averus. I have to go admit in public what I should do tshuva. But it's what is it? What is it? Everybody else's business. The Gemara is going to explain why it was important for.
Yeah, but isn't there a phrase Bishamah Ruvin Chatur Lord Lord that Ruvin didn't really sin?
Yeah, it says Vayishkav. The pasuk says that he slept with his father's wife. That to sleep with his father's wife is an isa misa. So the Gemara says doesn't mean Vayishkav is bila. It means he moved the bed out. His father's bed was in the ohel bila, and he moved it from ohel bila to ohel of Leah. So you shouldn't take the pasuk literally. It means he was mevaza the father, but it doesn't mean he was boal eishes oviv. That's a noinish misa. The Tanakh a lot of times exaggerates the sins of people. The Tanakh writes as if it was gefelach, and on the madrega that he was, it was gefelach, but it wasn't that serious. It was about
the question, where was Reuven? He went back to Shuvah.
Right. So you see, he had already done Shuvah way before the incident with Yehuda, but he didn't admit his guilt Barabim until after Yehuda admitted Barabim, then Reuven admitted Barabim. So that was what Moshe Rabbeinu was mispal Talkavish Baruch Hu. He says, Yechi Reuven v'al yamos, Reuven should not be punished because he was hoida, v'zos liYehuda. The fact that Reuven was chayzer b'tshuva is due to Yehuda because Yehuda was publicized his tshuva. He said vidui in public. So that got Reuven also to admit his guilt in public, which was an important thing. I'm always going to have to explain why, what's so important about it. V'zos liYehuda. This is all to be attributed to Yehuda, the fact that Reuven did said vidu in public is to be attributed to Yehuda. Miad, immediately he praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shema Hashem kol Yehuda. So what happened was, instead of the bones of Yehuda being rolling around in the Arayin, Shofi Yivarei L'Shofa, all the bones went back into place and he wasn't suffering that Oynish anymore. However, but he's still suffering because of his cherem that he put himself in, he put himself kol ayam, boilam azeh, boilam abba, even after he died, his bones were suffering. So even after the bones went back together in the sockets and everything was held in place, still, they didn't let them, they didn't let Yehuda's soul enter the Mesifta de Rekia. L'havakam ma'ilin lay, the Mesifta de Rekia, which he would have been interested in joining, to sit and learn in the Yeshiva Shal Maila. So Moshe Rabbeinu continues to pray on behalf of Yehuda, v'lama tevienu, allow him to enter into the group of the Yeshiva Shal Maila. So he came, they let him in, but he wasn't able to participate in the conversation somehow. It means to give and take, to talk and learning, to pilpul. He wasn't able, l'mishkol u'mitra b'shmaito, shouldn't say l'mitrach, mitrach is to be matriach. Mishkol mitra means shakla v'tarya, to give and take, and shmaita means talking and learning. B'hadei Rabbanan, all the tzaddikim who were there in the Yeshiva Shal Maila, Yehuda wasn't able to, he was sitting and listening, but he wasn't able to participate. So Moshe Rabbeinu adds another tefillah, Yodav Ravlo, give him success, he should be able to argue out the case. And then, okay, so that's one level, to talk and learning. But still, there are people who know how to say shtik lach tera, but they can never come to a correct conclusion halacha l'maisa. That needs a special siyata to the shmaya. To be able to come to a shmaitza aliba de hilchasa to paskim properly, so that you need an additional siyata to the shmaya. So that's Moshe Rabbeinu added another tefillah, ve'ezim mitzorav tehiyeh, you should even be able to be mechavan lamito shalter. So the prayers of Moshe Rabbeinu were answered, and Yehuda was allowed to enter the Yeshiva Shal Maila to talk and learning, and even to be mechaven lamitu shel Torah.
How does that last phrase give him the ability to pasken halachas? What was the definition of the word relative to what they're trying to do?
When we have a machlekes, I say like this, you say like that, and I keep on losing, so I lose to my enemy, my bar plukta. So Moshe Rabbeinu prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ve'ezim et tzarav tia, give him success over his enemy. His enemy is not a guy who wants to punch in the face. His enemy is the bar plukta and learning. Ezi mitzorav tehiya.
Is this supposed to be, take this literally, or is this all, just figurative?
Don't know exactly what it's, I don't think it's literally. But I don't know exactly what it's supposed to represent. I don't know what it means. Acherim boilam azeh, boilam abo. Acherim is a curse. A curse boilam azeh. You suffer boilam azeh. So apparently, had tradition. He suffered while he was alive. Then apparently, his body suffered and his soul suffered afterwards. Whatever that means, we don't know what it means. We have in Shulchan Aruch, they have a minig based on the Gemara and Shavuos. When a person has the yahrzeit, he fasts. Why does he fast on the yahrzeit? Because we assume it's a yom adin. Who is a yom adin for? So some achrayim say it's a yom adin for the nifta v'harayah. He was judged on that day and they took his life. Others say it's a yom adin for the whole family, because the whole family lost this relative. He died on that day. So if you fast, there's an inyan to fast be'ez tzara. So that the yom hayahrzeit is considered the yom adin, either that the soul of the nifta may be punished again, or it may be the whole family may be punished again. Why should the soul of the nifta be punished again? What did he do? He already died. What can he do? So that's what the Mefarshim say. Sometimes people do averes during their lifetime that have ripple effects, and even years after they die. He always spoke in shul in the middle of davening. Says children, his grandchildren, great grandchildren, they're all talking in shul in the middle of davening. And the whole shul is there. Everybody's talking because they remember he used to sit in front. He used to talk in shul. So he's going to be, the soul of the nifta is going to be judged every year on the Yom HaYahrzeit because of the continued ripple effects, the negative effects of the averes that he did. And sometimes niftarim are rewarded. He did mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim during his lifetime. So they'll make a Yom HaDin on the HaYahrzeit. They'll give him reward. He deserves reward and punishment. That's how the belt says.
Yom
HaKippurim,
the judges.
Mesim are judging well. Kippurim is plural. It's Kapar Lachaim, Kapar Lamesim. Yeah, that's another. It's another Indian.
One of the days when you can't fast, where you're not supposed to, like Kodesh Nishin or.
Okay. Nisht?
There's no. I this Nisht, obviously.
You say Kaddish?
What?
So the children say Kaddish. The Kaddish should be Megan on the Niftar. But that's what Achrayim say, that we assume that the Yom HaYahrzeit may possibly be a Yom HaDin for the Nifter, possibly be a Yom HaDin for the whole family, because that's the day on which they lost this relative. So there is such a concept. Exactly what it means, we don't know. We were never there in Yeshiva Shel Milo. Apparently they're talking learning, they argue things out, they pass Kashilas, everybody participates. I don't know. Exactly what it means, we don't know. So the Gemara says that it was all due to the fact that Yehuda admitted his guilt in public. He says, Tzot Kavimeni, he embarrassed himself because he wanted to save Tamar's life, wanted to save her from the punishment. So that's what encouraged Reuven also to admit. So the Gemara says, Bishlemi Yehuda, we understand, why did he have to admit in public the Oidi Kihech Delot Yisarev Tamar? They said, Hotziyov is Yisarev. So he says, don't. So he said, why not? She was obviously zinsa. He came mishlosh chadashim. She was pregnant. So he says, no, tzad kamimani. I'm the one who made her pregnant. Ela Reuven lo mele da'odi. What was the chachma of Reuven? He did tshuva. It says vayashiv Reuven alabar. Reuven already did tshuva way before. So what was the big kunst that Reuven admitted his guilt in public? What's the chachma? Every person has to pour out all of his averis.
Not supposed to.
Not supposed to. The Gemara says v'homer av sheishes. Rav Sheshes has a famous comment, Chotzef Olai, Mandem Eforet Chatoi. I think it's terrible, people who tell their averes in public. Now they have these homosexuals, so they feel they have to tell the whole world about their averes. He do averes, he keeps, I do averes also, I don't have to advertise all of my averes. So what do you have to advertise your averes? Keep it quiet. He says, Chotzef Olai, Mandem Eforet Chatoi. I think it's a chutzpah that a person says in public what his averes are. So why do we consider it such a gewaltige zach that because Reuven heard Yehuda admitting in public he admitted his guilt, so that's what got Reuven to, that will encourage Reuven to admit his guilt for his aver. What was the yichus of admitting in public? Emphati Gemara, because the father didn't know which one of the children moved his bed. So the Yankov Avinu was choshed all of them. Maybe they're all together in kut, so maybe it was a different son. And for the Gemara, he had to say in public because everybody was wondering who did the Avera. Not only Yankov Avinu, the others also, all the members of the family. And for the Gemara, he wanted to remove the chashad from all the other brothers. So that's why it was important that he should admit his guilt in public. So it took a long time. First he did shuva and he admitted to the Rebbeinu Shalom that he did wrong. And then later he admitted in public. So the courage to admit it in public that he got from Yehuda. So this is what we tell the Saita. And other stories like that, we tell the stories from Tanakh about tzaddikim, who were outstanding tzaddikim, and they did, everybody does something wrong, and they admitted their guilt. So if she's guilty, she should admit her guilt also. So then the Mishnah continues. If she admits that she's Taka Tmeyo, so they get divorced. Sure. We don't give it a death penalty. There's no Edim. There was no Hasra. You don't give it a death penalty based on her own admission. But the Mishnah says in Marma Tmeyani, if she admits that she sinned, Shoveres Ksubasa V'yotzes. V'yotzes means they get divorced. Shoveres Ksubasa means she writes a shofar on the Ksuba. She writes a document and she signs it. A witness is signed. This is to ascertain that the husband is not mechuyev to pay me any Ksuba. I lost the right to my Ksuba because I ruined their marriage. I was the one who was mezana. So the Gemara effect Akasha, there's a machloikis whether Kosvin shofar or not. If I lent you $1,000, and you gave me a shtar, and then later on I come and I say, you want me $1,000? You say 100%. Are you $1,000? You ready to pay me the money? So then you say, yeah, give me back the shtar. I'll rip it up. I don't want to give you $1,000 if you still have the shtar. I'll wait another year and I'll come. I'll collect the second time. So you say, I say, I lost the shtar. I don't know where it is. So let's say you know that I'm an honest guy. You believe me. I know you know that you owe me the $1,000, and you know that I'm an honest guy, but you're afraid to pay me right now. You know you owe me the $1,000, but you're afraid to pay me the $1,000 because I can later on come back a year from now and produce the shtar. I say I lost it, but what if I'll find it later on and then I'll be able to collect again? So you're not mechuyev to give me a maton of $1,000. You're mechuyev to make it piron achov to pay up the debt. Piran achav means here's your money and don't bother me anymore. My chov is paid up. But if you're paying me the $1,000, and it may well be that I will find that shtar. It could be that I'm telling a lie, I never lost it. It could be I did lose it, but I'll find it in another year or two. So if you're going to give me the $1,000 in such an oifen that I may be able to collect it a second time if I'll find the shtar, does Hastinish came Piran achav? So that's a machlokes in the Gemara in Ksubis, where the Kosvin Shover and Kosvin Shover. If the loiv admits that he owes the money, and the Malva claims that he lost the shtar, is the loiv a mechuyev to pay the $1,000? Aye, but the Malva may collect the second time. So the loiv will say, give me a shover that the chayv is paid. Yeah, but the loiv doesn't want to hold on to a receipt. He may lose the receipt later on, and then the Malva will come find the shtar, which he never lost, or he did lose, whatever. The Malva will come and produce the shtar, and the loiv will have lost the shaver. So is that the responsibility of the loiva? The loiva is mechuyev to pay the $1,000 because he admits that he owes it. He may not succeed in getting rid of the malva because malva may collect again. So the malva will give him a shaver that this is to ascertain that the debt was paid up. And now the burden is going to be on the loiva that the loiva has to hold on to the shaver, but he never accepted that responsibility. Melachatchila, ever loiva lish malva. True. The loiva is meshubet to the malva, but is the loiva meshubet to such an extent he mechuyev to pay, even though he may have to pay a second time? And the thing to prevent him from collecting a second time is the shaver. So now the loiva has the responsibility to hold the shaver for the rest of his life. Is that fair? Is that right? So that's a machlekes whether it comes from shaver or not. So the Gemara says, well, you see from the Mishnah, it says beferish shaveris ksubasa. The woman writes a shaver. How do you say that that's sufficient to write the shaver? Shouldn't the Bezdin insist she should tear up the ksuba? So you see over here, she says, I lost the ksuba.
Aren't you afraid also she may go to a different Bezdin to try to collect the second time? Because she still had the original ksuba.
Oh, that's the shaila. So why do you say she should write a shaver to the husband? This is tacitain, that you don't owe me any money. We got divorced and you don't owe me a penny because it was my fault. You shouldn't pay her a penny until she produces the ksuba and you rip it up. Don't you see from the Mishnah that kosum shaver? That's the Gemara's question. So how can we have a machlokes amaroyim? Frek the Gemara three lines from the bottom of Zayin on the base. Shamus mino, you can see from this Mishnah that yes, kosum shaver. It's a machlokes in ksubas, whether kosum shaver or not. And for the Gemara, Amar Abaye, there's a misprint in the Mishnah. Instead of shaveris ksubasa, instead of writing in the Mishnah that the woman has to write a shaver, this last 10 you're up to pay, there's a misprint. What it should say is mikaras ksubasa. She has to rip up the ksuba. We don't rely. We can't say it's sufficient that she should write a shaver. Husband is not mechuyev to hold the shaver, so we should insist that we have to rip up the ksuba. Amalei Rabbi said, Rabbi said, that's ridiculous. What do you mean? Sometimes there'll be a misprint in the Mishnah, a letter is off, but a whole word is off. Instead of Shoveris, it's a Tos Sefer, it should say Mikaras. It's in Gansan a different pronunciation, in Gansan a different verb, a different word, everything different. Frek de Gemara, Amalei Rabbi, Hoshaveris Tane. How can you say that that's such a Tos Sefer, Elam Rabbi? No. Sometimes you have no Brera, you have to write a Shove. If it's a Minigam Mokim, is like in America. Whenever a couple gets married, we always have a ksuba. So we tell a woman when she's getting divorced, this saita, you have to show us the ksuba, we're going to rip it up. So if it's a makam shekais from ksuba, then the woman can only collect the ksuba later if she produces the document. Because we assume that every kala in America got a ksuba under the chuppah. But other medinas, the minigah makam is that you don't write a ksuba. How is she going to be secure on the marriage? The Gemara says, I have to have a ksuba in order that the wife should be secure. You need a shibut ksuba. You don't have to have a document of a ksuba. So in America and in Europe, where our parents came from, the Eastern Europe and so on, the minhag always was that you give a document of a ksuba. So the woman was secure because she has a document of a ksuba. So she's secure. The husband can't just dump her and say goodbye and good luck, and I'm not going to give you. If he wants to get rid of her, he has to pay a fortune of ksuba. But there were mekaymes, bizmana gemar, where they didn't write a ksuba. And they would rely on the tanai beznitz, the takonos hatanaim, that whenever the husband divorces the wife, he has to pay a ksuba unless he can ascertain that she was at fault for ruining the marriage. If she's insulting to the in-laws, or she doesn't want to have any children, she doesn't want to go to mikveh, or so on, she's feeding them non-kosher food, or whatever. Whenever she's at fault for ruining the marriage, then she loses the ksuba. Whenever he's at fault, and whenever no one's at fault, a no-fault divorce, then the halacha says he has to pay the ksuba. So the Gemara says, "Mamakim shein kaisvin es haksuba." So she's going to collect the ksuba without any documentation, because it's a tonight bezin. So in such a place, then the Mishnah says that shaveris ksubasa. We will insist that the wife should, if it's a makam minigam makam shekaisvin ksuba. So we insist she has to produce the ksuba. We're going to tear it up. We're going to rip it up. I'll give it to the husband. So he'll passel it. If the minigam makam is, if the minigam makam is that every kala who gets married gets a ksuba under the chuppah, so then the husband is not allowed to live with his wife if she lost the ksuba. Then you have to write a ksuba dear kisso. But if the minigam makam is that they all rely on the tanai bezin, so you don't need a document. So you have the shibud ksuba. You have the shibud ksuba is enough to secure her in the marriage, because none of the women have a document of a ksuba.
So nowadays, where a woman has a ksuba, what if she says she lost it and the husband can't live with her, so she writes another ksuba? Maybe she never lost it.
Right. So that's why you have to write ksuba de irkisa, a ksuba that got lost. Irkisa is the Aramaic for getting lost. So you write, I was married to this woman for the last 45 years, and she says that she lost the ksuba, and the takanas chachamim is that I'm not allowed to live with her without a ksuba. So that's why I'm giving her another document, not to collect twice, only to collect once. So if he doesn't give her the ksuba de irkisa, he can't live with her. So he wants to believe her that she lost the ksuba. If she's telling a lie, she didn't. If she really lost the ksuba, then he's not allowed to live with her. And the guy does want to live with his wife, so he has no brera. So you just protect the husband to the best of your ability. So you write that this is a document to replace the old one, which the wife claims that she lost. She can't cheat him. If she'll later on get divorced, if she can collect once with one of the two ksubas, then she'll wait a couple of years and then collect the second time. And no one will be able to remember that she already collected the ksuba. So there is a possibility that she'll collect twice. But the husband has no choice. He's not allowed to live with his wife unless he gives her a ksuba. So we hope and pray that it doesn't happen. We hope that she's not cheating him, that she's not going to collect twice.
So why is there this halacha that where minhag that the husband can't live with her if she doesn't have a ksuba? What does ksuba have to do with him?
No, the woman in marriage often feels insecure that the husband can give her a get and leave her just like this without anything. The husband will get angry and give her a get. So we made a takana, kadesh le takala be'enav lo'itzia. Shouldn't be easy for the husband to just divorce his wife and run off with his secretary who's 40 years younger. So whenever the man divorces his wife, he has to pay her a ksuba. So he said, but the wife has to feel secure. So is that enough that there is a tanai bezin? Or do you need that she should have a document in her hand that secures her of the collection of the ksuba? So that depends on the minigam mokum. If the minigam mokum is mokum shikos fin ksuba, then the din requires she has to have a document of exuba. If the minhag hamakom is that ain't kaisim exuba, means that everybody relies on the takona satanaim. They know that there is such a chiyuv to collect the exuba. So then it's not necessary to have the document. All of our medinas, well, we, in all the recent years that we know of, minhag always is that you do write exuba. So by us, if the wife claims that she lost the exuba, then the husband can't live with his wife unless he gives her another exuba. So maybe that she's a fake, and maybe she didn't lose the exuba, and this whole thing is just a shtick in order later to get divorced, and then she's going to collect twice. She comes to the bezin when they get divorced, she's going to say, I want to collect twice. Here's one shtar, here's the other shtar. So they won't let her collect twice. Well, she'll collect with one shtar. Then she'll wait a couple of years and she'll say, I never collected the ksuba. Go to a different bezin. So she'll prove that she was divorced. She has a document to prove that she's divorced. And she claims, I never collected the ksuba for her right. Here's the other document. So she may be able to collect twice. But it's the husband takes his wife's word for it that she really lost the ksuba. He gives her another document. Otherwise, he can't live with her. That's the takanas chacham.
Why is the second ksuba then have this lashon that this is a replacement for the first one? How does that protect the husband more if she can still collect twice?
People will be able to, someone may remember that that she's collecting twice. It's a better chance that someone will remember. But theoretically, it's still possible. She'll go to another bezdin in a different city. If they'll move to a different location, no one will remember anything. No one will remember that that she already collected, and this one says this is a replacement.
Why can't we say, according to the Gemara, that it's simply a good thing for her to write a shofar, whether it's a makom that they have a ksuba or not? Because she gains nothing by turning over the ksuba.
Why we rip up the ksuba? If the minhag hamakom is like in America, she kais from ksuba, then she can collect without.
She's a selfish. She just admitted she doesn't get anything anyway.
So okay.
She's not giving up the ksuba anyway. She gets nothing out of it.
Strictly speaking, she's not supposed to collect the ksuba, but they may get divorced. Then 10 years later, it'll be forgotten that she was a soita.
No, but she says.
She admits that tamei ani.
So they have to get divorced.
Yeah, so she'll admit it quietly in the Beis Hamikdash. Tamei ani. We don't want to write it up in a newspaper. Shine. So he'll divorce her. He won't pay a penny. Then she'll come back 10 years later. She'll say, look, my husband divorced me. He never paid the ksuba. Here's my ksuba.
So at least let him have a shofar. Because she's not giving up the ksuba. She'll say, I lost it. There's no benefit. In a normal circumstance, she has a benefit to give up the ksuba to begin with.
Okay.
So we tear it up because
right.
She's getting the money.
I mean, she won't want to surrender it. She has nothing to gain by surrendering. Okay.
But here she gets nothing returned. So why would she do it anyway? So at least the better thing would be to write a shofar.
Okay. Also. The only time you're saying like this, the only time it makes sense to have a machlekes with a kaisim shaver and kaisim shaver is if the loiver knows that he owes the money. The loiver admits that he owes $1,000, but is he mechuyif to pay, knowing that the malve isn't giving him back the shtar? But over here, the husband is not paying anything; he doesn't have to pay. So here, there's nothing to encourage the wife to give over. That's what you're asking. And he can't prove anything for the mission. That's what Tyson talks about.
That I received the money, right?
Either says I received it, or I'm not entitled to the money. Here the Sheva
such
says,
a thing as a shover, you write a shover, I'm not entitled, I give up, I waive my right.
Sheva means a document that breaks the Sheva and Mishaber, breaks the strength of the other document. See, if you had a shtar that says somebody owes money, then you have a receipt that says it was paid. Here it's a Sheva that breaks the koyach of the ksuba. It says I'm not entitled to the ksuba. I was a soita, I'm not entitled to the ksuba.
Why would she write it?
We force her to write it. Because there's nothing encouraging her to surrender the ksuba. He says...
Why doesn't Bezin write it?
Okay, Bezin can write it also. Okay. Bezin can write it also. Same thing. Bezin has the right... Usually a shtar has to be written midas ha-mischayiv. Because we have a rule, mipihem v'lovim piksavim. Edus has to be al-pi. Shnayim Eidim. Alpi means Eidus, they have to deliver it balpe. They can't write it biksav. So how do you ever have an institution of a shtar? If you say mipiyam alam piksav, so the answer is, it has a din of a shtar. If it's written midas ha-mischayiv, if the Eidim write on their own, we saw a traffic accident and he crashed into the building and Shnayim was all his fault. So that's Eidus biksav. It's not acceptable. But if the guy who crashed in encourages the Eidim, please write down, I admit that I owe the money. Please write a document. and write in the shtar that you consulted me and I authorize you to write it. Then it has a din of a shtar. Has a din of a shtar. So the exception to the rule is Bezdin has a right to write a shtar without Das HaMischayev. It's all discussion why. So some poskim say because we have a din, Hefke Bezdin Hefke. Bezdin has a right to be Mafke my mom, and they have a right to act as if they're the Balabatim on my property. So they have the right to offer Das HaMischayev, just like if I would authorize the Adam to sign. Then I have a din of shtar. So the Bezdin has a right to act as if they're the Bailim. They can authorize the writing of the shtar. And others say you don't even have to come on to such an explanation. Bezdin has the kerch not only by dini mamonis because the hefke bezdin hefke. Our practice is that Bezdin writes the Gemara says Bezdin writes a shtar chalitza when the couple does chalitza. So the woman has to have a document. Let's say the husband came, the husband's brother came from London, and the wife comes from Zurich, whatever, and they get together some central city, and they do chalitza. The woman goes back to Zurich. So how is she going to prove that she had chalitza? So the Gemara says, "B'zman Gemara, the Bezdin writes a shtar chalitza." So that's not based on Das HaMischayev. So others say Bezdin has a right to write a shtar without Das HaMischayev. Not that Bezdin can grant Das HaMischayev because Hefke Bezdin has the right to act like the Baal. Bezdin, that's the halach. Ela mishpatim shetasim lefneim, ela klei adayanim. One of the klei adayanim is that Bezdin has to have the ability to write shtaris. Let's say you have a din Torah, and Bezdin Paskin is that he wins and he loses. So Bezdin doesn't have a right to write a shtar, so he'll walk out from the din Torah, he'll say he won. Bezdin has to have the ability to write a shtar. So the halacha says, Eilam Mishpatim Hashatasim Lefneim, Sima goes on a tangible object. The Gemara says, Eilu Klei HaDayanim. One of the Klei HaDayanim is that Bezdin has to have the right to write shtaris. So the Bezdin can write the Shteva. You don't need that the woman should write. Because Hevi Shavasa, if she'll be decent about it, she'll write the Shteva. If she wants to be give us a hard time, Bezdin will write the Shteva. If the Bezdin heard that she admitted that she's guilty, Bezdin can write the Shteva.
About not having Pesuvah, I think it's right, doesn't he say that's the definition of a Pilegesh? That somebody without
Pesuvah is a Pilegesh? The Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the second parak, has the two Girsas in the Gemara. What's the difference between Noshim and Pilakshim? So the old girsa in the Gemara was Noshim b'ksuba b'kiddushin, and Pilakshim is Kiddushin b'liksuba. And others say, no, that's the Rashi and the Ramban and Chumash have this discussion. And other Rishonim say, no, what do you mean? Pilakshim is b'kiddushin b'lo ksuba? No, Kiddushin is Noshim. Ksuba is only the Rabbanon. The whole institution of Ksuba is only by the Rabbanon. Ksuba is love there, right? There's an ongoing machlokes hatoram. Every 20 blot in ksubas, they keep on repeating whether ksuba derais, ksuba lav derais. It says in Parshas Mishpatim by the oynis and mefata. I think it says mefata. So by oynis and mefata, the same din. Kes of yishkol kemohar habesulos. You pay the amount of money, 50 shkolim, that you would normally pay for a ksuba. So you see, the Torah is referring to a practice that existed bisman matan Torah. That used to be a ksuba of 50 shkolim. 50 shkolim is masayim zuz. The 4 zuzim in 1 shekel. So that's a machlekes hatanaim. Does this mean that the Torah is endorsing that? And that's a din deraisa? Whenever a man divorces his wife, whenever a man dies, the wife is entitled to collect the chamishim shekel kesef? But no. Torah is just declaring that oynes and mefata have to pay 50 shkolim corresponding to the minig that existed bizman matan Torah, but it's not a din. So that's a machloikis hatanoim, where the ksuba derais or lav derais. We pass ksuba lav derais. The din that you have to pay ksuba is only midirabbonin. I in the text of the ksuba.
The obligation is derais, not that you have to write it.
No, the obligation is derabbonin. The whole obligation is only midirabbonin. The whole obligation to pay money is only midirabbonin.
Then what are you talking about derais then?
Not derais. That's the machloikis hatanoim. Yeah.
And the minhag ha'makom is not to write a ksuba. So what basically the derais is the obligation to pay.
Okay. If you hold ksuba derais, so the obligation is derais, and the writing of the ksuba, that depends what the minhag ha'makom is. Yeah. But we paskin the whole ksuba is lav derais. The whole ksuba is lav derais. I in our text of the ksuba it says the chazi lichem idi derais. So that's what the svardim don't write the chazi lichem idi derais. It just says the chazi lichi. Period. Rabbi Ben Chaim will be happy to give you a free copy of a ksuba that doesn't have those two words. It just says Chazi Lichi. It doesn't say Mideraisa. They make fun. The Svar, they make fun of the Ashkenazim. What do they write in Chazi Lichi Mideraisa? He passed ksuba lav deraisa. So the official explanation that's accepted in the Shulchan Aruch is the Rosh. The Rosh in ksubas on Daf Tes Amud Aleph says that in Eretz Yisrael there used to be two monetary systems running at the same time. Like here we have Canadian money and American money. So you have a penny, a nickel, a dime, a quarter, a half a dollar, and a dollar. You have Canadian money, you have American money. So sometimes Canadian money is worth more than American money, sometimes worth less than American money. So in Eretz Yisrael, Bizman HaTam, they used to have two monetary systems that had pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, everything like that. One was Kesef Tzuri, and one was Kesef Medina. In the Kesef Tzuri, each coin was worth eight times as much as that corresponding coin in the Kesef Medina. The penny was worth eight pennies, the nickel was worth eight nickels, the dimes were worth eight dimes. So the Gemara has a discussion. Whenever the Mishnah says that you have to pay an amount of money, whenever the Chumash says you have to pay an amount of money, which monetary system are you talking about? Are you talking about the Kesef Tzuri system, which is eight times more expensive, or are you talking about the Kesef Medina system? So the Gemara says it depends. Kol Kesef Hamabat Torah, it says you have to give Machzis HaShekel every year for the purpose of purchasing Karbonas Tzibur. You have to give Chamishim Shekel Kesef Bayonis and Mefata. Or by Moitzi Shema, you have to give Meir Shekel Kesef. Or if the Shar Muad kills an Eviknan, you have to give Shloshim Shalevet. So whenever the Chumash specifies an amount of money, that's referring to biblical money that you're talking about as Kesef Tzuri, the more valuable money. But whenever it's a Takanas HaTanoim, whenever the Mishnah says a penalty for something, that's the Tanoim are talking in the Kesef Medina money. So the Rosh explains that we write in Iksuba that the husband obligates himself to give to the wife. Husband is mechuyav to give the money. What is it based on? We pass in Ksuba lav deraisa, but where does the whole story of Ksuba come from? Comes from the Chumash that the oinus of mefata pei chaimishim shekel kesef yishkol kimohar habesulois. So the Chumash is talking about chaimishim shekel kesef of kesef tzuri, and that was man batan Torah. That was the common practice that everybody gave Ksuba. So we pass in Ksuba lav deraisa. It's not a chiyuv. But that's a takanas hatanoim that they made it into a chiyuv. The rabbanon hefker bez nefker. So they made it that amount that the chumash is talking about, the amount that the minig used to be bezman matan Torah. Minig was there, so that's kesef tzuri. So that's what the Rosh says, and that's what the Ramo quotes in Shulchan Aruch. When we write the chazi lichi mid deraisa, it means the chazi lichi mid the rabbanon. You're entitled to the money. If I die or I divorce, you're entitled mid the rabbanon. But when you'll collect it, if and when you collect it, it'll be biblical money. It'll be eight times the value of that amount of money. In Kesef Medina, it'll be the Kesef Tzuri money. By an almana, you write half the amount. She only gets, instead of Masayim Zuz, she gets Meir Zuz, the Chazir Lichem Yidir Rabbon, so it's not half. It's 1/16 the amount. Because the Ksuba of an almana is purely a Takana Yidir Rabbon with no mention at all in Chumash. So they're talking about Kesef Medina money. You're not talking about Kesef Tzuri money. And you have half the amount, you have 100 zuzim instead of 200 zuzim. But these 200 zuzim are Kesef Tzuri. The 100 zuzim are Kesef Medina. So it's not half the amount, it's 1/16 the amount. As they take Meshulchan Aruch, it's 1/16 the amount. You learn the Mishnahs, you don't get that impression at all. But that's what the Ramo writes in Shulchan Aruch.
We don't have that type of monetary system.
Right.
So what do we base
it on? No, we still write the ksuba. So then there are three parts to every ksuba. Every ksuba has the ikka ksuba, is the 200 zuz, the 50 shkalim kesef tzuri, or if it's an almana, then it's 100 zuz in kesef medina, 1/16. Then you add on tosefes ksuba, meyer zekuk in kesef tzuri, zekuk and a German coins from the days of the Maharil, which are worth way more than the whole Ikka Ksuba, many, many times more. And then you add on in a dunya, we assess the value of all the property that the girl brings into the marriage. We assess the value of the clothing and the sheets and the furniture and the jewelry, whatever she brings into the marriage. So we assess it arbitrarily as being worth Meir Zekuk and Kesef Tzorif. 100 silver coins, German coins in the days of Maharil. So we write Sach HaKol, sum total, Masayim Zekuk and Kesef Tzorif. So what do you mean Sach HaKol? It's Masayim Zekuk and Kesef Tzorif plus the Ikka Ksuba. So many Poskim say no. The Machlekes. So some say this is the sum total of the Tosefis that you're adding on plus the Nedunya. The Nedunya is the assessment of how much all the property is worth that she's bringing into the marriage. So most of the Poskim say once you write Sach HaKol, sum total, Masayim Zekuk and Kesef Tzorif, that already absorbs the initial Ikka Ksuba. So when the couple gets divorced, or the husband dies and the wife is entitled to collect the Ksuba, she only collects the Masayim Zekuk and Kesef Tzorif. So how much is that worth? So that's worth a fortune of money. Now, it depends on the value of silver. So that's worth a fortune of money today. $100,000. Worth an awful lot of money today. That depends on the value of silver. I don't know. The one who said that is the Rush. The Rush is the end of the Bali Atesis. I'm not familiar. I don't know. The Tzvartim have a different machinery. Instead of writing German coins from the days of Maril, what shaykhs do they have with the Maril with Germany? So they write American dollars. They write a real amount of money, American dollars. So they write Israeli dollars. Shekel, chadish. They write real money, not the money from the days of the Maharil.
So for the Almana and the Ksuba, it does not say the right?
No, by Almana it says, Meo Zuz, the Chazilichim de Rabbanon. That says in all the Ksubas, it says like that. Meo Zuz, the Chazilichim de Rabbanon, yeah.
In the wife gets, the husband gets, she has to give back the Ksuba to the husband, no?
When the husband pays the ksuba,
yeah, the wife has the ksuba when she's married. But when she gives a get to the husband.
The husband gives a get to the wife, you mean? When they get divorced. Get divorced and the husband pays the ksuba,
yeah.
Then she has to rip up the ksuba.
Yeah.
Today, for many years in America, when the rabbanim would be masadik gittin, they wouldn't insist that the husband has to pay the ksuba. Because the American government made the husband pay alimony, which was in excess of the amount of the ksuba. But in recent years, about 30 years ago, with the women's lib movement, so the government doesn't always make the husband pay alimony. Sometimes the wife has to pay alimony to the husband. Depends who's earning more money. That's what Moshe Feinstein said. So now we can no longer assume that the court is going to make the husband pay way more than the value of the ksuba. So he says, now we have to assess how much the ksuba is worth. He wrote a whole tshuva, how much is the ksuba worth? He has a funny cheshbon. Based on Shulchan Aruch, it's a different way of making cheshbon. He's making a cheshbon, how much was something worth in Europe? It's a whole funny calculation. And Shulchan Aruch, they tell you how to calculate.
So today, silver went through the roof to the price of the ksuba
also. Yeah, the value of the ksuba goes up. Because the value of the ksuba depends on the value of silver. Yeah. So then the Mishnah has, we try to encourage, if she's guilty, so we keep on encouraging her, admit that you're guilty. She doesn't admit that she's guilty, she keeps on insisting, Tahoirani. Okay? So it says, you take her, Amamra Tahoirani, that's seven lines from the bottom of Zainam and Aleph. The woman insists that she's not Tameya. So Malamos of the Shar HaMizrach, that's by Shar Nicanor. Nicanor is the name of the man who paid for the gates over there. So you take her to the Shar Nicanor. What is Shar Nicanor known for? Shar Nicanor is to the entrance of the Azara. In the Harabais, there were three sections, up until the Chil, and then the Chil till the Ezras Nashim, and the deepest part of the Harabais was the Ezras Nashim. So this Shar Nicanor, this gate, was in between the Ezras Nashim and the Azara. The women never walked into the Azar. The Gemara says, Isha Bazar Menayim, what's a woman doing in the Azar? That's a machlok taka later in Saita. It's machlok is Rashi and Tais. Rashi holds women are prohibited from entering the Azar. Tais says, where? Where's a pasuk in Tanakh? What does it say women are prohibited? It's not Derech Eretz. The women never walked into the Azar. But once in a while, the woman has to walk into the Azar. When the halacha requires it, she has to go into the Azar. So here it says that the woman should stand by the Shah Nicanor, by the gate that separates in between the Ezras Nashim and the Azara. What's that gate known for? Shesha Mashkinas Hasotos. Whenever there's a woman as a sota, that's where you give it to drink. Umetaramis Hayoldos. If a woman gave birth to a baby, so the halacha says in Chumash and Parshas Tazria, she has to bring a special korban yoledes. So the woman Umetaramis Hametzoroim. Where if a person became a mitzor, then he got cured, so he has to bring a series of karbonis. After he becomes cured, so he goes to the mikveh and he has harav shemesh. Even after the harav shemesh, he still is obligated to bring karbonis. The kol zman doesn't bring the karbonis, that's called the mechusi kippurim. Same thing the oledes. The oledes has to wait either 7 days or 14 days, depending whether it's a boy or a girl. Then she goes to the mikveh. Then she has to have Harav Shemesh. After the Harav Shemesh, she's allowed to eat Truma. After she goes to the mikveh, she's Torah, she's allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni. Then you have to have Harav Shemesh. Then she, after Harav Shemesh, she's allowed to eat Truma. But she's still, the Yoledes and the Metzora and the Zav and the Zava, even after they had Tvila and the mikveh, but the Harav Shemesh, they still have to bring Karbanas. Kozman, they don't bring the Karbanas, their Tahara process is still incomplete. But they get to what? They're not permitted to enter the Azara. Mechusi Kippurim is not allowed to enter the Azara. He's not allowed to eat Karbanas. Let's say, to eat Karban Pesach, you don't have to go into the Azara. To eat the Karban Shlomim, you don't have to go into the Azara. You can eat Karban Pesach or Shlomim anywhere in Yerushalayim. But if the person is a Mechusi Kippurim, then he's still considered Tamei. When they get to entering Beis Hamikdash Azara, when they get to eating Karbanas.
So, the Mitzvah, Rebbe, it's a mitzvah to be mitzvahed by the Mitzvah, or it's a matu. When he goes, the Mitzvah goes, the mixas, he goes, bia be mixas. If I say bia be mixas is shmei bia, so then it's like a mitzvah bo ba'aveira.
No, the Torah says he has no choice. The Mitzvah is not allowed to enter. Right. Even after he had tefillah in the mikvah and Harav Shemesh, he's still not allowed to enter the Azara because he didn't bring the Karbonis yet. But when he brings the Asham Mitzvah, so you have to take the dam from the Asham Mitzvah, Zorik on the Mizbech, then you have to take some of the dam, put it on his thumb, on his ear, on his toe, and so on.
So,
if you're going to take it out of the Azara, so the dam will be Nipsal B'yotze. So you have to have him walk into the Azara, so he's not allowed to walk in. So the Gemara understands from the Pasuk, he stands out of the Azara, Rosh HaVeruba, out of the Azara, just sticks his thumbs in. This thumb, you don't need both thumbs. He sticks in the right thumb, then he sticks in his, bends his ear a little bit, then he puts his toe. That's called Bia B'miktas. So Bia B'miktas is usually a machloikas in the Gemara, whether that's an Iser or not. So even if you hold it is an Iser, but it's not as Chomer as entering Kula into the Azara.
But it's an Aver, but it would be an Aver.
Right, that's the machloikas.
So he get a mitzvah to be metag himself through that Aver.
The Torah says he has to. The Halacha says he must.
Is it the matur? Is it matur or it's a mitzvah?
It's a mitzvah also. Even if he, yeah. No, he's obligated to bring the karbanas. Even if he wants to remain tummy for the rest of his life, but he's not allowed to. He's obligated to bring the karbanas. The yoled is also obligated to bring the karbanas. Let's say my wife had 9 babies. So Meheri Bana Beis Hamikdash, my wife will be obligated to bring 9 sets of karbanas. So the Halacha says once she brings the first set of karbanas, she's already tahira. She's allowed to eat karban Pesach and Yerushalayim, but still b'hashara le'achayva. She's still mechayiv to bring the other 8 sets of karbanas. The bringing of the karbanas ha'aledes is not only for the purpose of acquiring tahara, the complete tahara procedure. It's a mitzvah. And the same thing in the mitzvah. It's also a mitzvah to bring the karbanas.
The zava too.
Yeah,
mitzvah.
Yeah.
Shouldn't something change it because they were charging too much? And from our research, so did you only have to do one till
yes, it says that they changed it. Yeah. The question: what's going on there? Yes.
One carbon for each birth. What happens if the twins are several?
One carbon for each pregnancy. Yeah.
So if the twins, it's only one carbon.
Right. Or the Gemara has, let's say the woman had a nefel, woman had a miscarriage, also mechuyev to bring a carbon yoledes. So what happens, let's say the woman had a baby, a girl, and then the malos of tahara for the baby girl is 80 days. The malos for a boy is 40 days. The first 7 days they made tuma, then the next 33 days they made toar. And if it's a baby girl, so it's an 80-day malos. So the first 14 days they made tuma, the next 66 days they made toar. So let's say the woman went to the mikveh after the 14th day, then she became pregnant again, and then she had a miscarriage before the 66 days were up, before the malos of 80 days are up. So if she has a nafel that's a minimum of 40 days pregnancy, if the woman has a miscarriage and less than 40 days, so there's no tzuris avlad. The tzuris avlad is developed around 43 days, 44 days, something like that. Never less than 40 days. They have pictures in the books, and when you go to the doctor's office, so they show you pictures, what does the fetus look like after 43 days? So then it has a tzuris avlad. So let's say the woman had a baby girl, she went to the mikveh for 14 days, she becomes pregnant, and she has a miscarriage before the end of the 80 days. She's not mechuyev to bring another carbon yoledes. If the second vlad was born, not only twins or triplets, is there only one carbon, even if there's one vlad, and then she has a nafel within the malos of the first one, if she had a baby boy, So she's supposed to wait to go to mikveh till after 7 days. They only have 33 days left. So she can't have a pregnancy of 40 days then. Or even if she's not observing Taras HaMishpacha, how can she have a pregnancy of 40 days if the homolos is only 40 days? It's not going to happen. But if she had a baby girl, so the Mishnah is had it like that. So she won't be obligated to bring a carbon for the second vlad, for the nephil, because the nephil was born within the malos of the first vlad. The Gemara learns that from Psukim. The Mishnah is learning that from Psukim. So the Mishnah says that this Shah Nikar Nor is known, this is the location for all the Saita stand there to drink the Maim Amorim, and that's where the Yoldas stand when they bring the carbonus, and that's where the Mitzarayim stand. So the Gemara wants to know, what is that all about? Oh, let's see. The Gemara is going to get to that. Let's see. The last line on Zayin Amid Beis. So the Gemara says, Malamosa the Sharia Mizrach. Fake the Gemara. You take her up. You take her up to the eastern entrance to the Beis Hamikdash. Shar Mizrach is the eastern entrance. Fake the Gemara. She's already further in. We brought her into the Lishkas Hagazis. The woman, when you bring the Saita to the Beis HaMikdash, she has to go to Mikveh first, because she's going to enter into the Beis, going to go into the Lishkas HaGozes there. We want to Orvarfen HaPachad on the woman. So we bring her into the office of the Bez Nagodol, and all these rabbis with the long beards, with black hats, each one gives her a Musa Drasha to scare her out of her wits. In case she's guilty, we don't want her to lose her life. So she's already standing in the Azara. So what do you mean you bring her up? After it says you bring her to the Bez Nagodol, then it says you bring her to the Eastern Gate. She's already past the Eastern Gate. And for the Gemara, obviously, we took her in, then we took her out, then we took her in, we take her out, we take her upstairs, downstairs. He tried to knock her out, just in case she took a pep pill before she came, so we should knock her out, and she shouldn't be so peppy, and she should realize that in case she's guilty, she should admit it. That's the Gemara's kasha. Frag the Gemara Malimosa, the last line on Zayin Amid Beis. You bring her now after the drush of the Bez Nagodol. Malamosi, bring her to the Eastern Gate. Hossam Kaima, she's already there. She's further in. She was in the Lishkas HaGozes already. Everything Gemara, the Maskina law, Umachsina law, you take her up, you take her down. You take her up, you take her down. For what purpose? Kedei liyago, in order to knock her out. In case she knows that she's guilty, but she made up her mind, she's going to be a big hero, and she's not going to admit it, so you want to knock her out, so she shouldn't be such a knocker. The Tanya, you have a brayse in the Tosefta that says Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, Bezdin Masim Seidim, just like indeed in the Foshas, they do the same. Masim Seidim Imakam Lamakam, we schlep the Eidim around by Din in the Foshas. By Din Imamim is your own Varfon such a pachet, but by Eidis of the Foshas, the Bezdin of 23 should schlep the Eidim Imakam Lamakam, Kadesh Titorb Daitan Aleim, the Yachzur Behem, in case they're thinking of telling a lie, so we try to encourage them they should back out and they shouldn't testify falsely. So the same practice that they did Ma'aimim Arenei Defoshes, so we do the same thing over here. We give them a drasha, a Musa Shmuas, and we also schlep her around from one place to the other. The Lishkas HaGozes, Rashi quotes, V'chetzio Bakodesh V'chetzio Bachol. Rashi quotes from Yuma Daf Chafei. You're not allowed to sit in the Azorah. So the Bez Nagodol had to sit only in this half of the Lishka HaGozes. The other half, that was Chetzi HaBakodesh, they weren't allowed to sit there. So why did they pick such a strange location? Why don't they have a room which is in Har HaBayis? Why do you have to have a room that's half Har HaBayis and half Azorah? So the answer is, Rashi says in the opening pasuk in Mishpatim, you have to have Sanhedrin Somoch close as possible to the Azorah, to the Mizbech, to the Azorah.
Wasn't there also, but then there was an entrance on the outside also?
Yeah, there had to be two different entrances.
So why didn't they take the woman that way then bring her out?
They did take her from the Chol part, yeah.
From the Chol part?
Probably, from the Har HaBayis part, yeah. But she's already deeper in than the Shar Nikanor. That's further in where the Lishkas HaGozes is. And then the Mishnah comments that we have a drink, the Maim Amorim, by the gate, by the Shar Nikanor, and that gate is known, that's where the Yoldas stand, and that's where the Mitzrayim stand. So the Gemara wants to know, what is that all about? Bishleim Soita is Dichsiv on the top of Chesam and Aleph. On the sixth line, Bishleim Soita says the Chumash. Lifnei Hashem means in front of the gate, in front of the Shah Nikanor. Mitzrayim Nami, there's a pasuk that says, Vehemer Akonis Hamatayar, Lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem means in front. He can't go into the Azara because he's a Mechusi Kippurim. Lifnei Hashem means he should be in front of the Pesach of the Azar. Elo Yoldas, there's no such pasuk over there. So why was the practice, the Mishnah records the practice, All the women that gave birth to babies had to bring the karbanos after the 40 days, after the 80 days, after the malos is up. They used to have them stand over there. Why? My time, there is no pasuk that says they have to stand with Hashem. Eilema, and if you'll suggest the following, which is going to be come out to be the correct answer, and eilema, if you'll want to say mishum de asyam v'kaiman akorbanayu, maybe you'll tell me a story that there's a din that whenever you makrev a korban for a person, you have to have the bala korban, the one on whose behalf the korban is offered, should be right nearby. The Tanya, we have a brisa, it's really a mishnah, I think. The mishnah says that the instituted mamodas. You have Chof Dalet Mishmaris. Who's going to do, which Kohanim are going to do the Hakrovas HaKarbonis? Every day you're going to have 100 Kohanim coming from all different parts of the world, and they're going to be killing each other. Who has the right to be Makar of the Karbonis? The Mishnah describes that on one occasion they did kill each other. They were killing each other to have this Chus to be Makar of the Karbonis. So they divided all of Kohanim into 24 Mishmaris, and every Mishma has 1 week. And every 25th week, it's their chance again. Then, within the Mishma, they divide it into six Batayovas, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And Shabbos, most of the people went home to be with their wives and their children. And whoever left over, so all the six Mishmaris would do the Hakravas HaKarbonis on Shabbos. Everything was divided. That's Mishmaris, to divide the Avodas HaKohanim. But then they had Mamoris. They had Levim and Yisraelim, would also travel to Yerushalayim to be there in the Beis Hamikdash, to be mispalel, that the Karbonah should be offered properly. So, and then there were those who couldn't travel to Yerushalayim, not everybody can take off, so they used to gather together in different locations in Eretz Yisrael all over and offer prayers. So the Gemara wants to know, why did anybody have to go to Yerushalayim? Offer prayers. You can offer prayers at home. The Kohanim have to be Makar Karbonah, so you understand why they traveled to Yerushalayim to be Makar Karbonah during their Mishma on their day. On the Beis Av, every Beis Av had 1 day of the week, the 6 days. But why did they divide? They divided all the Klal Yisrael into 24 Mamodas. Why did the Mamodas have to go to Yerushalayim? Why didn't they just stand where they are? So the Mishnah says, because En Korbanos Shalodim Karvam Kenoim Eragabov. There's a din deraisa learned out from a pasuk. Rashi quotes the pasuk from the Sifrei, and Rashi it says Bamidbar Chav Ches. It says Tishmaru lahakriv li b'mayadoi. So Tishmaru means that you have like a guard, that the Jewish people should be standing in the Beis Hamikdash when you makriv the tmidim u'masafim. Why? Because it's a general din, not only korban tzibur, korban yochid also, but the original pasuk is by the korban tzibur. Tishmaru lahakriv li ech korban shalodim karev ve'enoim en agabov. Whenever a korban is offered on behalf of the tzibur, so you have to have representatives of the tzibur standing there in the Beis HaMikdosh that the korban should be offered. And whenever a yochid brings a korban, so there is an institution of mishalech korban. So a guy lives in America and he sends a check, he wires the money to the Beis HaMikdosh and he says, please bring a chatas on my behalf. Please bring a korban yoledes on my behalf. If you can't go, you can't go. So bid the yevet if you send the money and you send a note and please bring the korban, you can do that also. But more correct, lechatchila, the more correct practice lechatchila should be that ech korbanos shalodim karev eino emir al gabov. It says in Shulchan Aruch that when you have a bris milah, the mechaber writes, Avia ben should stand next to the moel lehodio shehu shlucho, to say that he's appointing the moel as a shliach. So the Vilna Gaon says that's not the reason. Why? He says because the Zohar says that a bris milah has a lot of similarities to a korban. And because you have the dam, like it's Rikas Adam on the Mizbech, and the Sandik is like a Mizbech, so the Aviyah Ben is the Bala Korban. So the Bala Korban should be standing nearby when his Korban is being offered. That's what the Vilna Gaon claims. It's not like the Mechaber says, Lehodiyah Shehu Shlucho, but rather based on this din. En Korbanos Shalodim Karvam Keinoim Er Agabo. So the Gemara says, if that's the reason why, by the Mitzor, it says he has to stand Lefnei Hashem. By the Sot, it says she has to stand Lefnei Hashem. But the Gemara wants to know by the Oledis, it doesn't, it only says by the Mitzorah, and by the Sota it says Lefnei Hashem, by the Oledis it doesn't say. So if the reason why she has to stand the Lema, if you want to say the reason why is because she has to stand there by Lechatchila, because the Karbonos are being offered on her behalf, so why is it only Oledis who should apply Ihochi if that's the correct reason? Zavim Bezavis Nami. It should apply. The Mishnah should say the zab and the zav are also from the arba mechusik kapar. Zab, zav, yoledes, and mitzora. The four mechusik kapar, even after tefillah and the mikvah and harav shemesh, you still have to bring the karbonis to complete the tahara process. So why doesn't it apply to zav, zav also? Doesn't it show that that's not the correct reason? More so, no, that is the correct reason. Anachanami. The din requires anachanami. The Tana only quotes one, namely the Oled. It applies to the Zav and the Zav also. They're not allowed to enter. They're not allowed to enter the Azara because they're Mechusi Kippurim, but they should stand as close as possible. They should stand by the Shah Nikanam. They should stand by the Shah Nikanam. Okay, we'll stop here. I saw in this new sefer that they published in Rav Soloveitchik with the drushas on the parshios. They have a drush on parshios Tetzaveh that I seem to remember hearing Rav Soloveitchik deliver more than once. Apparently this was his a favorite drush of his, that after the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu is recorded in the Chumash, every sedra has the name of Moshe Rabbeinu mentioned except for parshios Tetzaveh. So how come Tetzaveh doesn't have? So the Velt says because Moshe Rabbeinu, like Yehuda, accepted a cherem al Tanai and kilas chacham afil al Tanai miskayem. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Imai mechenin am misifur hashem kasafta. Please forgive the Jewish people for the chet regal in as nit. So I want to accept upon myself a punishment. Erase my name from the sefer Torah. So even though the Rabbanu Shalom did forgive, Salachti Kedurech, Rabbanu Shalom did forgive the sin, but it was a kilas chacham, afil al-traimis kayemis, so Moshe Rabbeinu's cherem, Moshe Rabbeinu's curse to himself, was partially fulfilled. So that's why we leave out his name from Parshas Tetzaveh. That's what I think the Balaturim has like that. So Rav Soloveitchik used to add on that, I guess in Yiddish folklore, they say, the reason why they picked Parshas Tetzaveh, they could have picked any other Parsha. Why Tetzaveh? Because Tetzaveh is usually, or always, the week of Zayin Adar. Zayin Adar is the earth side of Moshe Rabbeinu, so he disappeared from the face of the earth. So that's why they chose, that's why the Rav Shalom chose Parshas Tetzaveh. Only the Rav Shalom chose Parshas Tetzaveh. That's the way we lane our practices, that we lane Kol HaTorah Kula, and we finish on Simchas Torah. The Gemara says in Eretz Yisrael had a 3-year cycle. It wasn't so. But, I mean, it's Yiddish folklore. They're, by us, it works out like that. Yiddish folklore is not really the reason. So the Rav gave a longer drosha. But why is it Tetzaveh? Because Tetzaveh is all about Big De Kuhuna, and Moshe Rabbeinu was originally supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. And then he was punished in Parshas Shmois. It says that the Rabbanu Shlom asked Moshe Rabbeinu to be the Shliach for the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and he kept on refusing 7 days in a row. Every day he gave a different teretz. And then the Rabbanu Shlom said the final teretz that he gave was that the Shlachtam v'atishlach, it'll be Hasogas Gvul, my brother Aaron. I don't want to be Masig Gvul. So the Rabbanu Shlom says, Vosra Hasogas Gvul, Hine Aaron Achicha Alevi Yotzei L'Krasecha, your brother Aaron is coming, he'll be happy, he'll be tweet, V'racha V'samach Beliba, he'll be very happy, there's no Hasogas Gvul. Don't worry about Hasogas Gvul. So why does it say Aaron Achicha Halevi? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, the original plan was that Aaron should be the Levi, you should be the Kohen. But you give me such a hard time, I'm not going to allow you to be a Kohen, I'm going to switch the plan. Aaron's going to be the Kohen, you're going to be the Levi. So even in the first, the Shivas Me'a Miluim, that the Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of a Kohen Gadol, but he didn't wear Big De Kuhuna. He didn't wear Big De Kohen Head, he didn't wear Big De Kohen Gadol. The Gemara says he wore Chaluk Lavan. So the Yiddish folklore has it that the name of Moshe Rabbeinu is missing on Parshas Tetzaveh, because Tetzaveh is all about Big Dekuna. Even when he was functioning as the Kohen Gadol Shivas Me'a Miluim, he wasn't wearing the Big Dekuna. Baruch Hashem took away the Big Dekuna. And there are that more, longer the Rosh. Okay.
I saw somebody recently who just took a flight within the United States on an airplane that he benched on.
You know, Moshe writes like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Moshe holds that whenever you go on an airplane, it's always considered a mokum sakana because of the engine will conk out, so you're going to be in a major sakana. So therefore, you got to say, so what if you're going on a speedway, on a fast highway? So get that terrace. If the engine of the car conks out, you're going to be in big danger. So give some kind of a chiluk. I don't know.
That's what more people die with car accidents than trying to air it. So he holds it. Say he prefers the Nobel.
I don't know that there's any practices that are the aforementioned that you say even if there was no sakana and if there was a hold up or something else, even though it's not mentioned.